Good morning. You are watching Deprogram with Chad Rawl and Jamarl Thomas. It is Wednesday, July 1st, 2026. Good morning, Jamarl. How are you?
What's going on, man? You doing okay today?
I'm doing okay. I'm a little bit anxious about the incoming heat. It is July. It's supposed to be hot, but it's supposed to be a scorcher. 100 heat index well over 100 degrees, both down there in Richmond. And here, anyway, without getting into the details, everything go okay yesterday?
No.
Oh, no. Shit.
So just in case the audience didn't know, I was supposed to be going to Iran to cover the slain Supreme Leader's funeral. And obviously, like, you have to get visas and everything else. All of this stuff happened almost immediately within like a few days of saying, okay, this is what's going to happen. We're going to be leaving like the first part of July, etc. So you only had like a week in order to get prepared. Come to find out, the embassy is only open twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays. From my reading of it online, it was supposed to be open until 6 p.m. I got there at 2:15 and they closed at 2 p.m. I drove 2.5 hours to get that visa, and the trip was supposed to be like tomorrow. And so,
is it still in the Pakistan? Is it still the Iranian interest section in the Pakistani embassy?
Yep, that's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. So, my assessment,
you can go tomorrow
anyway. Yeah, I don't know how it works. I mean, there's no way for me to get the visa, and like people are saying, hey, well, they could send you because the issue. Basically, you have to pay for it. Yeah. And for whatever reason, the interoperability between the visa systems of Iran and the United States don't seem to work. So under normal circumstances, you would say, I need a visa from a place. I will go onto the embassy of that place online. I will put my information in. And within a week, they would evaluate on whether or not they're going to give me the visa. Usually, it's always yes. Their site doesn't work. And so when you're trying to get, let's say, the confirmation code back, it never sends it back. So there's that. So there's no way you can even go onto the website in order to pay for the visa in the way that you would typically do, which would mean this would have been a trivial issue under normal circumstances. It's not trivial now. So it doesn't seem like it's going to take place.
I mean, I went when I had to deal with this to go to Iran, I used a fixer and it was very expensive.
I had a fixer
to go, and we used. And it cost $5,700 for 3 visas.
Yeah. Well, I had a person who helped get the visa. I don't know the cost of it, but the person helped me on the back end because they could receive the code in a way that I couldn't. But then you're stuck with the issue of how do you pay for it if you were never able to use the system yourself. Like, it's just strange. I don't know how much the visa was going to be, but I would have gotten it, especially for the trip. So, yeah, up to this point, not so much. I don't see the way through. And the memorial services are going to be held sooner rather than later, if I'm not mistaken, tomorrow. July 4th. I think it's 3rd or 4th.
Okay, so Saturday, Friday or Saturday. Yeah, I mean, yeah, and obviously it takes all day to get to Iran. It's a very, yeah, I mean, my experience going to Iran was similar. It was complicated and really hard because of partly due to the U.S., you know, lack of diplomatic relations with Iran. But the other part of it is the Iranians are, their stuff's always closed. They have a lot of national holidays. It's very like, people are often not around. I was like marooned in Ashgabat, Turkmenistan, trying to cross the Iranian border and going in every day to the Iranian embassy there, trying to get in. And it was always, if it wasn't one thing, it was another, right? Like, the consul's not here. The office is open here, but the Tehran office is closed. It's always some saint who's got a holiday. And I was just like, I mean, I did make it in eventually, but it was just, it's an ordeal, you know?
Yeah. 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 So I don't know. I was annoyed yesterday. I mean, it's one thing if I waste my own time. It's another thing to spend a huge amount of money to waste somebody else's time to get up there. Because, yeah, it's just a mess.
Sorry about that. I hope it works out. Maybe go tomorrow. I mean, tomorrow's Thursday. It might be open.
Yeah, but that's another 6-hour round trip. I mean, that's not a trivial pursuit.
No,
work.
No. And it's also also, and it's a brutal drive with, but always the potential of traffic jams.
Yeah. I mean, DC is insane. Yeah. I mean, I lived there for God knows how long. I don't know if you were going to move to DC at some point if the network stayed open, but.
If they gave me a continuing job and they were always kind of like, well, you know, no, what's going to happen? Obviously stuff happened.
If you do go tomorrow, I'll cover for you. It's no problem. I mean, seriously, just go early, get it done. Me and Ted got this.
Yeah, it's not that simple.
Yeah, we can cover the show. Yeah, we can definitely cover the show, but I don't think that's the concern.
No. I appreciate you covering the show, but I have. Yeah, it's complicated.
All right.
Well, like my mornings are not my own. I have stuff that I have to do in the mornings, and even if I could make that work, the earliest I could leave would be 10 o'clock, 10, 11, 12, 1. That might work.
Yeah, no, you'd need to be able to leave at like 7 in the morning and be there when they open their doors.
That's the only way to make that work, especially when you get into DC traffic.
Yeah, for sure. All right, well, let's get to it. The President Trump has released his financials for 2025. It's a emolument palooza. He raked in at least $2.2 billion last year alone. Most of it from crypto. So it's mega grift. We got to talk about that. And also, Democratic Socialist Progressives are kicking major ass and taking names. The latest is in Colorado, where a 29-year-old Democratic Socialist defeated a sitting Congresswoman for Diana DeJet, 15-term incumbent and a supporter of Israel. That the Zionism basically did her in. And this was definitely a shocker. This is in Metro Denver. And also, highly politically connected Colorado U.S. Senator Mike Bennett is out. He became the first Democrat, the first senator to be primaried out in 15 years. Also defeated basically for being viewed as too inside Washington and voting to confirm some of Trump's nominees. That was too much for the Democratic electorate. So, progressive Democrats are ruling the roost, not just in New York City, but now also in Denver. And, you know, we'll see how that spreads. But we got to talk about that. Supreme Court ruled yesterday, right after the show, that birthright citizenship lives. But we got to talk about the how and the why and the narrowness of the vote, I think, is really important to talk about as well. It was only a 5-4 decision. Kind of stunning when you consider exactly what Trump was trying to do just with an executive order. Please like, follow, and share the show. If you have a question and you're watching live on YouTube or Rumble, we'd greatly appreciate it if you post your question in the live chat. Producer Robbie West will put that up for us. We'll read it and answer it. Priority goes to the Super Chats on YouTube, the Rumble Rants on Rumble. I'm trying to think what else is going on. Oh, yeah. Q&A show, 12 noon today. So stay tuned for that in just under 3 hours from now. You can just ask us anything, and that includes Robbie, and we will attempt to the best of our ability to answer that. All right. What do you want to talk about first?
Let's go with the Supreme Court one. That one is interesting to me.
Okay.
I need you to break down the details of their rationale. Well, I get that it broke 5-4, but as you were pointing out, you're saying that the reason why it broke 5-4 is interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, what basically it was a 5-4 decision. The crossover votes it's sort of 5-4, kind of to 1, sort of is the way five, or it's really 5-3-1 is how it broke down. But basically, Barrett and Roberts crossed party lines and voted with the Democrats. The usual suspects, you know, Alito and so on, voted with the president. And basically, one, I think it's Gorsuch, I could be mistaken about that, voted against the president, but like on different rationale, which was based on a 1940 statute revising birthright, clarifying some rules about birthright citizenship. But what was fascinating to me was basically Roberts, who wrote the decision, said that their thinking was that this was settled. That basically the court settled this opinion, not that the court settled it back in the 1800s, but that the 14th Amendment's language was clear. And therefore, they kind of like reheard it and relitigated and redid the ARC decision kind of from scratch to clarify it. But I have to admit, I was disappointed. To me, regardless of where you stand on birthright citizenship, the president of the United States should not have the constitutional power to erase a major landmark Supreme Court decision or a constitutional amendment with an executive order, with a stroke of the pen, without even getting congressional input, much less approval. And that's not what the court looked at. I mean, and what's also, you know, frankly, this should have been a 9-0, easy peasy. You can't reverse a constitutional amendment that's been backed up by numerous important court decisions with, you know, an imperial, you know, like your King Louis the 14th. You shouldn't be able to do that. And, right. but you know, really none of the justices had a tremendous problem with Trump's approach here, with the methodology. It's not the methodology that went down. It was just the, well, birthright citizenship is a promise that was made back in 1868, shortly after the Civil War. If you're a freeborn citizen of the United States, you're in, and we're just reaffirming that, which means that, like, this leaves the door open for Trump to use executive orders to, or any president, to try to overturn, you know, even, you know, an act of Congress or that's been signed into law by a previous president or a constitutional amendment. I find that to be flirting with dictatorship.
It's like the enabling amendment in Germany, right? Mm-hmm. Where you effectively made the president a king. Mm-hmm. You said that the president could do pretty much anything through executive order. An executive order is not meant to be that way, right? Like, right. An amendment of the United States that is put in by, what, 2/3 of Congress in order to get an amendment through. Amendment is above a law.
And he's effectively
waving it away, right, with an executive order.
2/3 you know. Of the state legislatures also vote for it, right?
Right. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, that's not
widespread. Like,
that's trivial.
Yeah, I mean, this means it's like, for anything to be a constitutional amendment, it has to be something that basically the vast majority of the country is really into.
Yes, so much so that you have to go through like lifting weights. Like, it becomes a structure of the Constitution at that point. It's like you're adding on a limb. Like, it's not a law, right? It's not a minor trivial thing. Mm-hmm. And for an executive order, something that a president could just eat it out, they've made it as if, oh, well, Trump had legitimacy in making this edict against something that was an amendment, when really we shouldn't even be having this conversation. That's this should be, as you pointed out, 9-0, because it's not even something that is up for debate with a executive order. I mean, unless they're saying the executive orders are that powerful, like that we have a new power level in the Marvel universe in this case.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, like, this is extreme, but let's take them at the word for a moment.
Imperial presidency, right?
But should executive orders be able to do that? Like, meaning, because, and maybe what the fight is over is what, how far can executive orders go? Maybe that's the fight, or that's the war.
Maybe we need a constitutional amendment governing that issue, because, I mean, and this would be something, I mean, obviously Congress would have to have a veto-proof majority to do, and it would have to pass Supreme Court muster. But it's, I mean, the Supreme Court has already kind of ruled in favor of Trump's wide discretion, for example, to say, hey, you know, I can strip the Haitians and Syrians, hundreds of thousands of them, from temporary protected status. I mean, it's kind of like the president the executive order, my understanding of this is that the idea of it was, well, the government has the ability, has a lot of stuff going on, and it needs to prioritize some things over other things. And where the executive order comes in is it gives direction to the government to say to the various government agencies and departments to say, a priority of the Thomas administration is we're going to do this, and we really want you to focus on this thing, and maybe you don't need to focus on this other thing as much. And that's not what's going on now. I mean, this is a, you know, repeatedly Donald, I mean, this was a breathtaking, you know, power grab. I mean, you're literally trying to change the nature of the country. I mean, who gets to be a citizen is literally, I mean, it's the most basic aspect of what constitutes a nation state. You know, it's like who comes and goes, right? Who, you know, who comes in, who gets to come in. But like, what happens to people who are born here? Are they in the club or not? I mean, I would argue it's actually a bigger deal than whether or not you get to vote. You know, because literally it's about your future personally as an individual, and it's about the character of the nation state. You know, voting, the truth is, like, elections are never settled by one vote, right? So, you know, voting's not that important. This is a big deal.
I think both are important. I mean,
that's important.
That's more of a philosophical argument. So I'm not even going to touch that one. That's a super interesting conversation, though. No, it's a power grab. It's an extreme power grab. I mean, it really does boil down to, look, from my point of view, power is always taken. And if a government effectively enables a president to rule like a king, then the president will most likely rule like a king. And going forward, that power has now been taken. Like whether it's the president deciding to declare war as an imperial president. Okay, well, Congress is supposed to hold the purse strings. Congress doesn't pull the purse strings, hence we have an imperial president. All of them have been that way, meaning Obama, Clinton, well, Obama, Bush, Biden, et cetera. They've taken the power, in which case that is now just kind of looked at as a property of the president. I mean, they passed the War Powers Resolution, and Trump was like, "Yeah, whatever." He didn't care because he knew they were going to do anything about it. No, I agree with you. If, from my understanding, the executive orders become law the moment they hit your registry, right? Or correct me if I'm wrong.
I don't know if law is really an accurate way to put it.
I don't mean law in a sense of like
go into effect, right? Yeah, they go into effect right away, right?
Right. And so if the president said, you're not a citizen in this country under an executive order, I guess there was always a fight that needed to be meted out on how far executive orders go. But they never really had that fight. They entertained this as being legit.
I mean, so
that's chilling.
I mean, let's put this into perspective here, right? We are one vote on the Supreme Court, one car accident for, you know, Sotomayor away from this changing from the, you know, having a different outcome. There's definitely arguments, you know, good, valid arguments, both in favor and against birthright citizenship. To me, that's not the issue here. To me, it's about the president's ability. I mean, if the country decides, you know, it wants to go in a different direction with birthright citizenship and it wants to amend the Constitution again, or at least pass a law in Congress and, you know, see if it passes constitutional muster at the court. Okay. Then that's the decision that the country has made. And that's a political discussion, but this is a legal and constitutional and going to the, you know, issue question that goes to the fundamental character of this country. It's not even just separation of powers. It's literally like, is this a dictatorship or is this an authoritarian state or what is this? I don't think, you know, Richard Nixon would have dreamed of a presidency that had this level of power. In fact, I don't think he would have approved of it. And he wanted as much power as he could get. But I think, you know, he had enough respect for the system and the Constitution that he wouldn't have liked it.
Yeah, well, again, I made this point of saying we need to get out of this idea of good faith actors. Like, meaning this stuff needs to be done in a way where you assume bad faith. Something has changed. I keep saying, like, corruption over time gets worse as people get more used to the system. And this revolutionary verve of how you see yourself and standards that you have, they erode, especially when you can get something out of it, when you realize that the more they erode, the more I could get out of this particular system. It's an imperial presidency. Like, I don't know another word for it. Like, they are effectively saying the president is a king and he can do pretty much whatever he wants under executive order. If that's true, meaning you can ignore the amendment. The amendment is not the issue, right? It's whether or not the president can just blow it off and just say, you know, this is now null and void because I say so.
Yeah.
And then the Supreme Court comes back and say, not whether or not the president has the right to do that, but more on like the merits of it or something like that. It's just very strange.
It is very strange.
Very strange.
Jamal, are you up for some comments?
Yes.
All right. Here we go. FUCO, I called my congressman, Mike Levin, and called him a traitor. If he votes for Israel's military merger, I'd say, look,
FUCO, traitor.
If you're driving down the street and you hear a buzzing sound, that might just be a drone. Manchild 5000, retail investors lost $2 billion. The SEC legalized it by ruling that meme coins aren't securities. And by the way, thanks for the donation. This financial report is Trump's version of enjoying a post-coital cigarette after fucking thousands. Yeah, that's true. Like, if you bought Melania coin, you lost, like, what is it, 99.7%?
Who would buy that stupid coin?
Not me.
They deserve to lose that money.
That's true.
They deserve to lose that money.
Well, I think it's a bribe, basically. It's money laundering. It's like literally like, hey, Mr. President, I bought Melania coin. You know?
Like, yeah, wink, wink.
Yeah.
Or like, here's an airplane. Or here's, yeah. You know, I'm going to get involved into this oil business with my kid being part of it. I mean, the level of stealing and just outright corruption is breathtaking. And then this is this Kafkaesque environment that we're in, where we've become so normalized. If people want to know how the Soviet Union operated or how Nazi Germany operated on some level, where you get this, hey, it is obviously illegal to monetize the presidency. And yet the news would report the president is being is monetizing the presidency to the tune of billions. Yeah. And you can do report after report after report, all of it tracing back to Donald Trump getting a huge amount of money and being bribed. It doesn't matter. It's like people see it. It will be reported. It's not like it's even hidden. And yet, I play my Xbox. Right? Yeah, it's very strange. It's very strange. Here's an obvious crime. And then you move on.
It's
like, are we a country of laws or not? And they would say so.
Apparently,
and they would say the oligarchs in Russia and the people and blah, 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 and so and so. And oh, by the way, the president just got $1 billion.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, yeah, I mean, he's literally the chief policymaker of the United States in the about the crypto space. He absolutely has already issued executive orders saying that crypto is a go and that the United States government should, you know, go easy on regulating it. And so he's benefiting directly. I mean, the conflict of interest is glaring. I mean, it's like there's no question about it. You can't credibly say that there's no conflict of interest.
And by the way, not just on this.
No.
It's across the board.
Totally.
Like when Jared Kushner ends up somewhere, or when, you know, Steve Witkoff and his kids ends up somewhere. These guys are making policy and then has a business arm going in order to benefit in a financial sense from the policy that the president is making.
And Republican lawmakers from the president's own party, they should be pissed about this. They should care. They're supposed to care about it. You know, I mean, it should be at this point. It's like, no, you've gone too far. This is like when you find out that like your close relative is a pedophile. You know, you love your relative, but you got to call the cops. You know, it's just too much. All right. So John D. Rockefeller, I just wish we righties had a comparable group of younger insurgents. All we have is Groypers and Kirk fanboys. No arguing there. Jabari Media, Zelensky tried to clip a Ukrainian Monaco in Monaco. Thanks for the dollar.
Yeah, we're talking about Europe needs to get used to that, by the way. You love those Nazis when they were in Ukraine. Wait till they
They're coming to you.
They're coming to you. Monaco is just the beginning. It's just the beginning.
Yeah. Michael Williams is taking issue with probably, but what both of us are saying. No, birthright citizenship was for a specific group of people, enslaved Black Americans. Well, that's not what the Supreme Court decided twice.
Right.
At least twice.
Yeah.
And it's also not in the original. The original sponsors of the amendment traveled the country in 1868, 1867, and gave speeches in Congress. And they made very clear that it was their intention to have people who were born here become citizens. I mean, don't forget, we'd already had mass immigration by then, right? We already had massive waves of German, Italian, and Irish immigration, the first wave following the revolutions of 1848 in Europe. So right. It's not like, you know, we didn't have like the streets of the Lower East Side filling up already. And so it's not like, this isn't one of those like, oh, by the way, like, you know, let's like dig into the Constitution and gin up a privacy right and then gin up a right to do abortion from that. This isn't that. It's not duct tape and bailing wire.
And I got to be honest, it's besides the point. It's not about whether or not Trump was enamored by birthright citizenship. It's not about whether or not people agree with it or disagree with it. There's a legal remedy for that, if indeed you feel that strongly about it and the country agrees with you.
Right.
This is about whether or not the president is a god emperor. It's that.
That's exactly
to me, it's that. You know, it's like the Supreme Court should have not even entertained this. Or if they're going to entertain it from the perspective of we are delineating the powers of the executive order and how far executive orders can go. They almost gave credence to it by definition because they went into the legalities of what they were talking about, as opposed to dealing with the fact that the president shouldn't have this power. Like if I go to court for something, if I say I want to sue Randall Person for something, the court will say you don't have standing to bring this to the court.
Yeah.
Same thing.
That comes up a lot. P.W. Walker, what would be wrong with President AOC using an executive order to gut the Second Amendment? Right. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's totally the same thing. Let's see. Marco is an anchor baby. That's true.
the irony.
Okay. Alexander G, at some point you have to have enforced borders or you can't have a welfare state. A country is supposed to be for and by its people, not everyone else. This is for Americans to figure out, though. I don't know.
True. I agree with that.
Totally true.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't take issue with that. That's separate from the Second Amendment. I mean, from the amendment, though, on birthright citizenship. Both can be true.
Thanks, Quinn, for the $10 donation. I was at a Pride festival the other week. There was a booth that literally said gay socialists for gun rights. Any hope for right-wingers like Robbie and gay socialists to coalesce? Robbie, are you going to coalesce with some gay dudes?
Well,
what you do in your house, I don't care. What I have a problem with is whenever these people who sponsor these parades then look at me and say, you stop telling people about Jesus. How dare you shove your religion down my throat? Meanwhile, yeah, they're doing this. I mean, who you sleep with should not be a matter of public celebration. That's the part for me that I don't understand.
What if a man and a woman are on a bench in a park and they kiss? Is that showing their sexuality also?
Or holding hands?
Well, I think it's probably a little bit different than a parade down Main Street, don't you think? I mean,
they're showing their sexuality off or something like that. I mean, that doesn't even require a parade.
Or a certain singer-songwriter marrying a football player in Madison Square Garden.
Okay, so let me see if I can articulate this in the way that that makes sense, because unlike the two of you, I think that birthright citizenship is a disaster. It should never be a thing. And that Trump did this the wrong way to make sure that I think it was a poison pill. I think he did this deliberately to blow it up. That way he could show his base that this is, look, I'm fighting for you. Those evil Supreme Court people, they blew it up. So it is what it is. I think that's what this is.
I wouldn't put it was,
if he knew it was doomed from the beginning.
Well, I don't know if he knew it was doomed.
Performative.
Oh, for sure.
But it was performative in a way that could have had dramatic consequences.
Yeah, he could once again have been a dog who caught a car.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe I don't think so, because even someone as dumb as him knows an executive order is not a law, and it's not. One vote away from it working, though.
One vote.
So what? But you got to put on a good show. But to get back to the point about what the question is, who you sleep with is a personal preference. And this whole LGBT thing, in my opinion, is just the new state secular religion. It's just like, you got to show how good of a tolerant liberal you are, or how good of a person is that you are. And if you don't, then you're just excluded from the public conversation. I think that's really what this all boils down to. I sleep with a black woman. I should not get a parade saying, here's to all the Oreos out there. Who cares? Who you sleep with does not matter.
Robbie, this is one of those cases where I'm saying you are, and I don't mean this poorly, you're looking at this from a white male perspective.
Shocking, because I'm a white male.
Right, but you got to see this from the other side of this. Like, meaning, if you were never in a situation where the country itself either kept you in a closet, saw you as being something to revile, or for that matter, institutionalize laws and everything else in order to denigrate you as an individual. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying that to say that if you were in that situation, you may have a society, or let's say a culture, that is in some respects performative, but in some respects pushes back strongly against those aggrievements. And you could say, well, dude, we're in 2026. But that doesn't necessarily change the fact that all of those things took place. There was no break in time, and societies and cultures create means of dealing with levels of opposition. And one of those means is James Brown, I'm black and I'm proud, or rappers showing bling and talking about how much ass they get because of, you know, this idea of feeling less than a man. And so they need to be supermen in regards to the way they define masculinity. I'm saying, and I'm not saying this poorly, I'm saying you're looking at this from a certain context, but their context.
I'm looking at it from a Christian context, because homosexuality in Christianity is an abomination. That is the context I'm looking at it for. So if you really want me to tell you what I think, I'll tell you what I think. It should be illegal if we live in a Christian country, but we do not. Now, the question is, can Robbie look the other way and make common cause with someone over civil liberties with someone that he does not agree with on that issue? The answer is yes, I can.
It's not an issue. What do you mean it's an issue? I'm saying, is your sexuality an issue? Meaning, is the fact that you find your black woman attractive, is that an issue?
No, because it's not condemned in the Bible.
I don't think black women should go with white men. Now it's an issue.
Do you give
a shit about my agreement on your sexuality?
I do if it's enforced by the point of law. I mean, hate crimes are a thing. If you're a protected class, based off who it is that you sleep with, and you are held to a different legal standard, that is a problem. Like me, I'm a business owner. I own a company. Right. So if someone comes to me and he's an open homo, and he's like, Robbie, I want you to make a video for my gay pride event. I will tell you no. I can then get sued for that, for civil rights.
By the way, I think you have a right to say no.
That's the issue.
Well, you can't be sued for it anymore, right? Due to the call it the Denver Baker case.
But that's the point I'm trying to make, though. Once you start carving out exceptions for people because of what you look like or who you sleep with or any other number of things, then justice is no longer blind and you don't have equal representation under the law, because at that point, you're then putting weights on that scale. That's the whole issue. That's the problem that I have.
Scale, Robbie. They didn't put the weights on the scale. The society itself put the weights on the scale when it had opposition to the fact that those people existed. As you pointed out, for you, it's an issue. For them, it is just their sexuality. I'm saying it's not more of an issue any more than you and who you sleep with. It's something that people make an issue. It's a difference in those things. Nobody says, breathing air is an issue for people, because everybody does it. It's assumed that people do it. It's just understood as the way they operate. Nobody says same-sex relationships are a, quote, issue. Mm-hmm. But they do say it about homosexuality, because it was made an issue in this country. We have laws in this country about sex between same-sex couples, that you could be arrested for stuff like that. I mean, we're not talking about Britain. But I hope you get my point. It's not the very fact that we call it an issue when it's really just the sexuality between two people.
I'm not so sure. You know, I wanted to, and we do need to move on. But Robbie, I'm curious, like, for people like you, conservatives, Christians, you know, I lived in New York City for most of my life. You know, it's a huge gay city. And even so, you know, there's not a lot of PTAs, even in Manhattan, on a day-to-day basis between, you don't see a lot of, it's very rare to see two dudes holding hands or much less even kissing each other on the lips to say goodbye. Even in the Village, you don't see that very much. You know, Gay Pride Parade is once a year. You know, you kind of have to make a point to go see it. The odds are you'll miss it. You'll be home when it's going on. You know, it's like, it's not like it's, you know what I mean?
You get a whole month celebrating where you put your dick, Ted. Come on.
What?
You get a whole month celebrating where you put your dick. Don't listen. Brother, listen.
Nobody's spending the month like, it's not like, oh, it's another day. It's another like man on man, you know, extravaganza. Everybody go out and suck another dude's cock. It's not like that's every day in a month. It's sort of like it's Gay Pride Month and you don't remember it or think about it, right?
Okay. I need you to do me a favor. Stop pissing down my back and tell me it's raining. You asked me a question. I gave you an answer.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, how much do you, I mean, especially where you live, it's, there can't be that many, like, so much, that much gay culture in your up in your face, right?
Again, to address the issue, the question that was asked, can I make common cause with someone for civil liberties? The answer is yes. I 100% can.
Cool.
I do that right now with the two of you.
True.
Where the line is crossed is when, with the force of the state behind you, you then say that I have a protected status. It's kind of like your precious Syrians or your precious Afghans, your Afghani traitors who you seem to have no problem coming here.
These are
issues are being conflated. At the end of the day, what my question is who the hell is looking out for the American people? The answer is nobody. That's the issue. That's the question. True. And you can suck a dick or whatever else that you want to do. If we can get on board with that, and if you're willing to accept the fact that I believe what you do in your bedroom is an abomination, but I'm not in your bedroom, so I don't care.
Right.
Then we can work together. However, you start coming out at me swinging and say, Robbie, you're a bigot and all these other things. You'd be debanked, deplatformed. You'd be put in jail because of all this stuff. Fuck you and the horse that you rode in on. I'm being very clear here. That is my stance. That is where that's the hill I will die on. We can work together on
something. I can accept that.
A lot of people can't. And as you can tell, I'm kind of pissed off right now because we have so many more bigger issues going on in this country right now. And we've got wedge issues like, oh, Johnny and Tim, look how brave they are because they fuck each other in the ass. Who cares? At the end of the day, seriously, who cares?
I mean, having never been fucked in the ass or having been pegged, I think it would require some courage.
I recently
had those anal skin tags removed, and let me tell you, when I dropped chow and exposed my holiest of holies to that proctologist, I was like, it was scary. So I kind of think, you know, it takes some nuts to let something up in there.
Yeah. It requires some courage. That's the quote.
You know what I wish? Honest to God, this is something I mean, and the two of y'all are just over here just crapping over this whole concept of birthright citizenship. I've made this argument multiple times. No one cares. Fine. Fair enough. The Supreme Court. Oh, they ruled on it twice. Fantastic. Hold on. Back in the 1800s, they didn't have airplanes. You didn't have massive demographic change. You have an influx of millions of people come across the border every single fucking year because they couldn't get here back then. Right. Now, all of a sudden, it's an issue, and there's no one on the left or the right who gives a single solitary flying fuck about the American people. That's the issue. If you'll stand with me for that, I'm 100% in your corner.
Nobody's taking issue. I don't think we crapped on the birthright citizenship in and of itself. I think we were crapping on the issue of the Trump being able to just blow it away with the executive order.
Birthright citizenship was never a thing unless you were a slave. Trump did this the wrong way, and I think he did that deliberately in order to put this issue to bed once and for all, because he wants those sweet, sweet H-1B visas, and he wants open borders just like the Democrats do. And the problem is he has to find a way to lie to his base, the people who are still stupid enough to believe him. That's what this is.
Well, Robbie, first of all, two things statistically. About 250,000 people a year emigrated to the United States in the 1850s and 1860s. I just looked it up. So They did, no planes, but they were able to get here by boat.
And the majority of them went back home, didn't they, Ted?
No, this is the net migration. And then also the other thing is that like the number of people, birthright citizens, the kids, number of citizens who are coming in that way, being born here by foreign parents is really a small percentage of immigration into the U.S. I mean, if you're, a nativist and you're trying to, America, keep foreigners out, that's a trickle, right? The real flow is like these massive, is people overstaying their visas. It's like the open border policy that Biden had. That's where the real, that's where
the
millions are.
The border for 100 single fucking years, Ted. No immigrant, none. Zip, zilch, zero, none. Close the border. That's the answer.
Answer to what?
The problem. That's the issue.
It's I think 100, we should never have any policy to do anything that's 100 years long, period.
Yeah.
We can play with it. Maybe we can make it 99, maybe 90. The point I'm trying to make is have either one of y'all ever been to Gary, Indiana?
Yes.
What does it look like?
It is a hellscape. It is a bleak post-industrial, hyper rust belt, super mega polluted hellhole. And
who's looking out for them, Ted?
Living there.
Who's looking out for those people? Who's looking out for the people down the street in Columbia Falls, a little town that you stayed at whenever you came to visit me last year? Who's looking out for them?
No, look, you and I are on the same page.
And the people,
I will repeat what I've always said. The United States should not be importing foreign workers as long as the unemployment rate in the United States is over 0%. Period.
Agreed. I can agree with that.
You probably need to even go further, because the truth is that, like, if it's not enough to just have full employment, you also need to eliminate underemployment. You need to make sure wages are not depressed, which has not been the situation, but at least bare minimum, right? Okay, so let's do.
By the way, I think we agree on this. Like,
yeah,
I don't think we have radical disagreement on this front.
I think birthright citizenship is abused sometimes, but like the fact is
sometimes, but every day.
But it solves some big, but it solves a bigger problem than it creates. So that's the thing. I mean, countries like France that don't have it have second, third, fourth generation illegal immigration, and these people end up living in a permanent underclass in the shadows. If they, if they see a terrorist in their community, they're not going to call the police and tell them because they're afraid of getting busted themselves. That's not good for society. They're afraid to call the fire department if they see someone's house burning. That's not good for society. You want people fully integrated,
Okay, so the problem is, Ted, and we just like what happened in, I guess it all over the West. You don't need to integrate if you have a welfare state. The whole reason people integrated back in the 1800s is because there was no welfare state. In order to be a success in the United States, I'm saying that you have to forget your culture. But you have to come, you have to learn English, and you have to at least nominally adopt the culture from which you came. Like there were no hyphenated Americans. If you're an Italian or a Russian or a Brit or whatever, you come to New York, you go through Ellis Island, you process through.
Those were all illegal immigrants, by the way, right? I mean, they didn't come with visas. They just showed up like a hare on the soup, in the French expression. They were illegals, all of them. It was just like no difference than Eagle Pass, Texas, under Biden. I mean, they just showed up, hoped for the best. And it was like, oh, you might not have TB. All right, you're cool. Come on in.
The whole point is And I'm saying a lot of the chat, Robert, you're an immigrant. I am not an immigrant. I can assure you I 100% am not an immigrant. My ancestors helped conquer this continent. They didn't steal it. They didn't settle it. They came here. They took ass. They own it. So I'm not an immigrant. So first off, screw you. Second, when it comes
to... Robbie, I mean, you say that. I'm like, but then you criticize the Zionists who did the same thing, right?
Yeah. Because we're doing the same thing. Listen, I get it. But here's the difference, though, is that the United States is funding the genocide. So that's the problem.
What's the difference?
That's the issue. Okay.
No. I'm saying, what's the difference? If you can harness some power, whatever that power is, in order to conquer a particular country, that's effectively what you were chest thumping about. We didn't steal it. We conquered it.
Correct.
Well, the Israelis
are that's the story of human. That's the story of human history. But you know what? The Israelis can't do it on their own. They have to be financed and supported by other people from all around the world. And then the whole time while they're doing it, they're playing the victim card. Also, let's keep in mind, we're talking about whenever my ancestors came over here in the 1600s, it was a radically different age. It was a different time. It was a different world. The reason I bring that up is, you get these clowns in the chat. Robbie, you're an immigrant. No, brother, I'm not an immigrant. My family's been here for over 400 years. And unlike the Israelis, I got receipts. So,
I mean, I'm sort of an anchor baby. My mom, became a citizen after me. My mom married my dad, came here to the United States, got a green card. That was 1961. I was born in 63. Obviously, I was a citizen at birth. But my mom didn't get citizenship until the bicentennial year of 1976. Although,
did she sneak across the river, Ted, or did she come in legally?
No, she came in legally. She married my dad. Immigration policy at that time was very easy. If you married some American, you were in.
Then welcome to a world. Welcome to America. That's the whole point. That's the whole point of the issue right now. We don't even know what the rules are.
The key native here, considering my grandfather was Native American.
You guys weaseled your way in across the barrier, taking advantage of loose ice age borders.
No, that was pretty wild. No, the whole land bridge.
Yeah, can you
imagine? And then walking up. Here's the question that I have. If that's true, why did they bring horses with them? Why didn't they? Because horses are not indigenous to the Americas.
I don't think could have made it.
But we don't know because, I mean, if the climate was different, if it was cold enough.
It was the tundra, right, when they came across that shit. And these were basically like Mongols, right? So they were tough fucking people who like lived under brutal conditions and they trudged across the ice. Across the Arctic and made their way here. I mean, it's fucking incredible.
That's hard for me to wrap my head around.
Yeah.
I can't get over the Polynesians, right? Who came all the way across the Pacific diagonally to the Americas in dugout canoes, right? Like, hey, we're going to dig out a log and just get on the high seas.
Yeah, see where it goes.
Balls. Yeah, that's.
Were they colonizers, Ted? Polynesians? Should they pay reparations?
I would say since no human beings lived here at the time, by definition, they're not colonizers.
I'm talking about the Polynesians, not the Indians.
No, I'm talking about the Polynesians. There was no one here, so therefore they're not colonizers. They're OG.
So the Polynesians were living in Florida at the time?
Well, there was nobody there. It doesn't look like their populations survived, right? They're not in the gene pool, so it doesn't look like they made it.
I think they probably got as far as Hawaii and said, hey, this is as far as we can go.
I think they got here and somehow they just, it's like first Jamestown settlement. It just didn't go well, you know?
So do y'all have any more questions for me before I go back to producer land before I set the chat more on fire?
Probably, but you can go back. We got to thank Para Illegal. Thank you for the very generous $50 donation. Thank you so much. Really, truly appreciate you. All right. Ted and Robbie, this is a question for you. Sean Pat, have you been to a pride parade? I have many times. It's not so much the floats as it is the revelers, a lot more than kissing on the street. Or maybe the city of Big Shoulders is more wild. That's Chicago, right? The city of Big Shoulders? Or
I've only been the one. A friend of mine went through this arc where she realized that she was gay, or realized, owned it. I don't know, whichever one it was. And she was going through this period of, I don't know, it was like she was married. The marriage was tanking. All of this stuff was going on at once. But she started getting more into the LGBTQ culture of stuff. Mm-hmm. And obviously relationships. But she was at one of the pride parades. And I went to support her. So it wasn't, I mean, I don't know. It's like, oh my God, that man has his penis out. Like, right. Okay. Like, it's in a parade, right? Or it's like, oh my God, this guy hit on me. Okay, well, I'm in a gay, like, I'm in a gay festival, and you're a guy. It's not shocking.
It would be insulting if no one hit on you.
Yeah, right?
Seriously, I remember when a good friend of mine came out to me as bi, and he's like, oh, you know, men, women, but I'm not interested in you. And I'm like, what the fuck? You're a whore? You'll fuck right. anyone, but not me? I'm right. not gross? Like,
but I'm off limit. I yeah. felt that way. I had another friend of mine who was gay. But she would go vacillate back and forth. I guess she was bi, but she was more gay. And I remember one of her friends one day asked her, it was like, hey, you two never hooked up? And it was kind of like, yeah, I've always wondered that.
Yeah, it's like, well, it's really funny. There was a very famous woman, I will not say who she was, that I went to college with, who she was like, I mean, she was a magnificent slutty girl. I mean, and I only say that like seriously with full admiration, because I was a very slutty boy. So, and one time she shows up at my room wearing nothing but a full length mink coat. And she's like, Ted, come on, it's ridiculous that we haven't fucked yet. I mean, we're overdue. I was like, you're right. I was like, we both fucked everyone else. Like, let's do this.
Needed to just oh, Jesus Christ. That's funny.
Yeah, it was very funny.
That's funny.
I have never been to one. You'll be shocked.
It's not terrible. I didn't.
It's actually very fun.
It's very theatrical. There seems to be, I would say, a lot of energy around it. Yeah. But it was, I mean, I don't know.
It's joyful.
Yeah. It's everybody mean. Seemed to have a good time. Everybody seems to be on good terms. I don't know. It didn't feel like
fuck straight people or, you know, fuck Jesus. Exactly. Something like that. You know.
It wasn't that. And it didn't feel, I didn't see this, like, men hooking up with each other. Like, I didn't see that stuff. It just seemed like a festival of sorts.
Yeah. Y'all are welcome to it. I will stay in my little right wing echo chamber.
I mean, Robbie, it's not like I looked for them to go to. I was supporting a friend of mine and I just didn't see any issue with it.
I just generally don't really like parades. So, you know,
this is where the civil stuff comes in. Do whatever you want. I don't care. It works two ways. If you want me telling you about Jesus, stop telling me about how much dick you suck, because I don't care.
All right, listen, more comments. Fair enough? Time is short here. Ray C, thanks for the $2. Remind folks to chat to help the show.
Yes.
Please explain about the chatting thing.
So this impacts Rumble more than YouTube. So Rumble started this month. They've come out with a bunch of new metrics, and this is going to impact every show that's in the Rumble Creator Program, which includes this one, includes the TMI show after, and also my gaming channel, Putin by Gaming, here on Rumble. So one of the new requirements, the hardest one to reach, is having 75 unique chatters at least once a month. So what does that mean in English? If you want to support the shows, literally all you have to do is come over to Rumble. If you're on TMI, you just get rated over automatically. If you're on Putin by if you want to support me on Putin by Gaming, really the best way is just install the Rumble app. If I go live, you get a notification. Drop an emoji. Just say hi. Call me a Nazi. It doesn't matter. It all works. And it just counts as a unique chatter, and that way we can close that metric and continue earning a paycheck. Because without it, instead of earning hundreds of dollars, you end up earning like maybe 30 cents a month.
Yeah, that would not.
That's not sustainable. So we really need your help.
Thank you very much for that, Robbie. One insult for Robbie. Brian, we can't get Robbie to stop with the extreme right views. trust me, I can tell. Can we at least get him to put on a clean t-shirt?
This is a clean t-shirt. My wife washed it last night.
Personally, I don't need Robbie. Robbie's point of view is his point of view. I guess I don't know why. It's
widely shared, adds to the interest, honestly, there's not a lot of fora where this, I don't know of another fora where we have where this kind of dialogue happens. So I think it's valuable for that reason alone. Sam Palmisano, thanks very much for the $20. Are y'all chronic nappers, or do y'all push through the day and go to bed early? My parents are about y'all's age and they need a nap every day. So I was wondering if y'all shared that.
I'm missing, yeah. Thanks. I tend to go until I keel over, like till I nod off.
Yeah, I'm like you. I get up early. I might have like 2-3 naps a year. It's like very rare. When I do, I'm always happy that I did. I just go like the Energizer Bunny, and I usually crash around 8:30, 9 o'clock. I'm kind of like done and time to hit the, you know, maybe watch something or you know, read something. And then that's, all right. So we got to talk about the elections. We're still reading the tea leaves, but it looks like, again, more reason for Democratic centrist corporatist assholes to be upset. Milot Kiros, 29 years old, Democratic Socialist, clobbered Representative Diana DeJet, a 15-term incumbent who got support from AIPAC in Greater Denver. Also in Colorado, Senator Mike Bennett, who you might remember as the brother of New York Times editor James Bennett, who was deeply involved in the Sarah Palin situation, he just got primaried out of the U.S. Senate. Big deal. And, I think that you're going to see more pushback from the centrists. But, you know, this is definitely worth watching.
I mean, I think it's a loss of credibility on their side. Like, the center just doesn't. Do you remember the book during the Obama era? It was like the center holes. And it's Obama beating back the lefties, I suppose, and beating back the right wingers. Okay, well, the center, that was temporary. Or maybe it's not, but it seemed like a temporary thing. How often can you fail and still continue to get elected? Yeah. And I think what took place with Trump, I think, is the same thing that's going to take place with the Democrats, just on the other side. They lost credibility. The regular Republicans were replaced by the Trumpers. And whatever the Trumpers thing means, it's just called a personality, ultimately. But it is what it is. And it seems like something similar is happening on the left.
Totally. We didn't get a chance to really talk about Trump's grifting. So the good news is in 2 hours, we have the Q&A show. So
yes.
I think we can start with that. And so if you were hoping to hear our thoughts about that and whatever breaks between now and then, and anything you guys want to talk about more to the point, please check that out. TMI show with Manila and I coming up right now. Jamarl back solo, 7 a.m. tomorrow, 12 noon for Q&A show. All right, I think that pretty much covers everything. Thanks, everyone, for the generous donations today. We can't do it without you. And Robbie, thanks for the spicy chit-chat, as always. And we will see you guys later.
Bye. Have a good one, guys. Bye-bye.